Hello, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Rita Politan. Today we're going to talk about getting rid of limiting labels. And with me to explore this topic is Christian Science practitioner Melissa Hayden. Thanks for joining us today.
Good to be with you, Rita.
Well, Melissa, labeling ourselves can be useful if the label is uplifting and really points to good things about us. But as you know, far too often, the way we label ourselves and others points to negative traits that limit us. So how can we overcome limiting labels?
Well, I think it's an ongoing process. First, it's important to recognize and understand why certain labels are limiting, that they aren't true or valid. It seems sometimes that we don't always know when we're imposing a false label on ourselves or someone else. Being so familiar with what is true and valid, which really is being familiar with God, helps to uncover what is untrue. And the next step is to replace those false labels with something more correct, more accurate, according to Christian Science. Of course, this isn't just a one-time practice. It's really necessary to do it consistently. In fact, to establish as part of regular daily prayer a right view of ourselves with what might be called spiritual labels, qualities of God. These are natural and normal expressions of good found in each of us.
Tell us more about these spiritual labels.
Well, I think the clarity that Christian Science brings to the creation account found in the first chapter of Genesis is the basis for spiritual labels. It's repeated throughout that account that God saw everything that he had made, and it was very good. The Christianly scientific view is that this is a spiritual record. So those two concepts, goodness and spirituality, are the foundation of accurate classification. So you can ask yourself, is this label spiritual? Is it good? If the answer to either of those questions is no, then you understand that it isn't true. It isn't correct. The second creation story in the next few chapters of Genesis depicts a very different view, making Adam a partner with God in the process. And in that unreal co-partnership between matter and spirit, there are all kinds of opportunities for mislabeling. But with God alone, as the sole cause, the sole author, there is only one possible outcome.
Well, you know, I think it'd be good right now to share an experience that kind of illustrates this.
Okay. These ideas of being more conscious of the labels that I apply to people and circumstances really grew out of a healing after my divorce some 30 years ago. Back then, my ex-husband and I were not getting along, especially with regard to child custody, and I had many unkind labels that I attached to him, and certainly felt like there was enough evidence to support those labels. But unfortunately, the other side of that was all the awful labels that I attached to myself as a result, like helpless or victim or unhappy. And I realized that in order to free myself from the effect of those labels on me, I had to instead see myself as useful and progressive and joyful, normal qualities which I knew were mine to express. I had to stop giving those negative ones a cause. And this really required me to see myself and my ex-husband in a new light, one which better reflected our true identities as children of God. For example, that sense of feeling helpless, thinking that my ex-husband had all the power and I had none of it, I really discovered that it contradicted what I knew about God as being omnipotent. Divine love another name for God doesn't give any of its power away to inharmony or fear or helplessness. Love blesses all and bestows upon each one of us a right understanding of power that can only be used to gain good in every direction. Similarly, in feeling like I was a victim of certain kinds of behaviors or unable to defend myself against them, I really had to see that instead of my ex-husband as a cause or circumstances as a cause, that God alone is the only cause. God is the only source. And nothing can touch me that appears to come from any other source. Unhappiness seemed to grow out of the sense that I had lost something or done something that disrupted happiness. Yet what I truly love about what Christian Science teaches regarding happiness is that it is completely safe in God and simply can't be touched by circumstances or events. I really made an effort to hold these ideas close and to apply them liberally whenever I felt any of those negative feelings coming on. At one point, after a conversation about where the kids were to be on a particular weekend, I could sense those helpless feelings welling up in me. I just stopped and prayed to get a better understanding of God as the only power and presence governing me and us and this situation. I just really took these ideas to heart and cherished them, fully trusting that all the details, not just about the weekend, but about everything, were up to God. And amazingly, I forgot about the whole thing. Not long after, my ex-husband contacted me with a way to split the weekend that enabled us both to have our needs met. And after that, the difficult moments became less dramatic and eventually just faded away. And over time, as I consistently sought to identify both him and me spiritually as cooperative, as kind, as honest, we were more able to work together in caring for our kids. And today we have a cordial relationship.
So then, let's say somebody is having a really hard time dropping limiting labels. How do we begin even to walk down that path of being able to say, no, that's not their true identity, or no, I'm going to stop thinking of them in that way? How would someone do that?
Well, you have to ask yourself if what you're seeing or experiencing could be attributed to God. Would you give that label to God? Would you say that God is that way too? And if you can't say that about God, you can't say that about yourself or someone else, because God is the only source of creation. And if God isn't it or didn't do it, it has no way to manifest itself in a circumstance or in an individual. There is only one source, and that's God. That's our first clue that maybe what we're seeing isn't true. Maybe it isn't valid. Maybe that's not really what's going on. And that gives us an opportunity to rethink whether we want to go there or not. Mm-hmm. The reality of anyone is always going to find its source in God. That's always going to be the starting point. What does God know? What has God done? What is the circumstance according to God? That's the only source of a real label, of a real story about anything.
Well, that sounds like it's going to take some practice. I mean, what do you do on a daily basis that helps you kind of feel the truth of that?
One of the great resources of Christian Science is the weekly Bible lesson from the Christian Science Quarterly, and it's a collection of citations from the Bible, inspirational ideas, together with ideas from science and health with key to the scriptures. And Mary Baker Eddy, she's the author of Science and Health, which is the foundational textbook of the practice of Christian Science. And the Bible lesson is available to anybody. It's available in Christian Science reading rooms. It's available online. It's something that anybody can find inspiration from and build on their understanding of God and of their own spiritual nature. And the ideas can be applied to any situation. They're universal truths that are applicable in any situation and bring healing and inspiration.
Do you have an experience you can share, whether it's a physical healing or anything that where you had to kind of get rid of the label that we can be sickly mortals?
Right. Another experience I had that really showed me the power of sticking with the spiritual label, I was doing some pruning and cutting into a plant that had some thorns on it. And I grabbed the branch to pull it away, and one of the thorns went deep into my thumb. And I stopped what I was doing and couldn't pull it out. It had gone under the surface of the thumb and was buried quite deeply. And I needed to finish what I was doing, so I cleaned up the rest of the pruning. And at the same time, though, I was really praying to recognize what I was. As a child of God, I was not a mortal that could be injured. The thorn didn't immediately come out. In fact, the thumb became very sore and tender, and every time I touched it, it just was painful. And I realized I was connecting the pain in my thumb with an event. And the thought that came to me was a quotation from Science and Health, that a spiritual idea has not a single element of error. And this truth removes properly whatever is offensive. And as I thought about that, the pain stopped. The pain completely stopped. Now, the thorn was still in my thumb, but the pain stopped and I actually forgot about it. And the next time I looked at my thumb, maybe a day or two later, the thorn was gone.
So you don't even know when it left you.
No, I don't know when the thorn came out, but I recognize that the only thing that could ever happen to me was God's care for me, was God's power and presence. And that's the whole point of prayer in Christian Science, is to recognize God is the final authority on what is true and what is good. And if God doesn't know it, if God doesn't do it, if God doesn't say it, it has no validity. It has no reality in our experience. And we can prove that by leaning on what God knows.
Wow. So then, as you pray daily in this way, how has this changed the way you look at the world?
Well, you know, it has to change the way I look at the world, because it seems if I look at the world through what the news is reporting or what the material senses are reporting, it's a pretty awful place. There are lots and lots of awful things going on, disease, and there's unrest, and there's lack and loss. Those pictures are disturbing. But when I stop to look through God's eyes, when I look at creation through God's eyes, when I think about what God sees and what God knows, and I go back to that account of creation in the first chapter of Genesis where everything was very good, it helps me put into perspective, it helps me to gain a better perspective of the reality of what I'm seeing. If I'm looking for good, I will see it. If I'm looking for truth, I will see it. If I'm looking for hope, if I'm looking for peace, if I'm looking for health, I will see it, because those are the realities of God's creation. If I'm looking for the power and presence of God and man as his image and likeness, that's what I will see. And that helps to bring solutions to circumstances that don't seem to be very godlike.
So then, what would your prayer be for the world today? If somebody is looking and seeing what you're saying, all the unrest and the disturbing things that are going on in the world, how can they turn that around and see what God is seeing?
Well, I think all of those things, unrest and disease and fear, are all false labels. They do seem to be accurate. They do seem to have evidence to support them, but they're false labels. And to make the effort to replace those labels with something spiritual, with something good, is a great starting point. And the only way to know what those good qualities are is to start with God. God's creation is all. And the more we know God, the more we see that goodness and that sense of all permeating. So we need to replace those labels of fear or unrest, with more truthful, according to God, labels. We need to replace those labels with the recognition of peace, the recognition of harmony, and we have to start there. When we're praying, if we start by acknowledging good, if we start by acknowledging the reality and power of peace, of health, of holiness, of harmony, of safety, of progress, then we begin to recognize those as already present. They are already present because they are expressions of God. And we can peel away those false labels and see the power and presence of those real labels already at work.
And that's really because we have this spiritual sense that does understand God's reality. You know, tell us more about spiritual sense.
Well, spiritual sense it's the opposite of material sense. Material sense takes the face value of the circumstances and conditions around us. But spiritual sense is actually a recognition of what God sees, what God knows. And it's innate in man. And by man, I mean men, women, children, any of us. It's our natural, God-given capacity to see spiritually. And the reason it's natural is because we are God's children. That capacity to see as God sees is natural to us as His children, as His manifestation. So spiritual sense enables to see through the false label to the reality that's been there all along, to the reality of God's creation. It's what enables us to heal. It's what enables us to resolve difficult situations. It's what enables us to recognize good and to enact good. Because the power of what we're seeing is not in ourselves. It's recognizing God as the only power. It's recognizing God as the only presence. It's recognizing that God has no opposite or equal or competition, but that He is the all in all of our experience. And as we see that, as we pray to see that, to recognize that, it becomes more visible in our experience.
Wow, Melissa, you've shared so many helpful ideas. Is there anything that you'd like to leave us with?
Well, the whole idea of starting with a right picture, starting with the right label, starting with the right understanding. It's very simple. When we pray, to begin with what God knows, it's really natural to us. And it helps to loosen any connection of a false label, of what would seem to be a problem or an issue. It just helps to let that slide away, so that we can focus more directly on what the true identity is, what the true identification is. That's the reality. That's what we really are. And that's what heals.
Well, Melissa, thanks so much for being with us today and for sharing your insights.
Thanks, Rita. Glad to do it.
I've been speaking with Melissa Hayden, a Christian Science practitioner from Beaverton, Oregon. And thanks for listening to this edition of Sentinel Watch, a weekly production of the Christian Science Sentinel.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.